Well, we appreciated that song. And many of you have come in since we had prayer. And I think it would be fitting after singing Man of Sorrow. What a name. Just to bow our hearts together. And to each one say, Hallelujah, what a Savior, in prayer. And then I'd like you to just quietly, after we've praised the Lord for a minute or so, I'd like you to just say, Lord, quiet my heart. And if you're not sure whether your heart's clean or not, you can think of a sin or two or three or 20. Ask the Lord to cleanse your heart and give us ears to hear tonight, His Spirit. We want to hear from the Lord. I think that would be a wise thing at the outset and for each meeting, just to bow our heads and hearts and God cleanse me and help me to hear. So let's pray. Father, we do thank you together for Jesus Christ. And as one man, we would say, Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a Savior. We thank you for Jesus Christ. Now, Father, search our hearts. Help us to be honest. Lord, if there's sin, if there's something that has been disturbing us today that could hinder our hearing from you, give us the grace to just confess it now. And we thank you that if we confess our sins, that you're faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, open the Word tonight and open our hearts as you alone can do. We pray that you'll be exalted. We pray that you'll do that amazing work and start us off at a quick start at this conference, gearing in quickly with you and with what you want to do in each of our lives these tremendous days. Our eyes are upon you now, Lord. We rely upon you for grace to speak and exalt the Savior and do a work in every heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Bob mentioned that I was out in the Orient and in the Far East and Southeast Asia. And I left the States on the 6th of February. Had the privilege of being in 8 Asian countries, attending 4 national conferences, one in Korea, one in Japan, one in Malaysia, and one in the Philippines. And God did some terrific things in lives and in my own heart those days. And tonight, we'll be just using that trip as sort of a context to share some thoughts from the Word also. I had prayed that the Lord would send in $2,000 to get this trip underway. The ticket was a little over $1,300. And we were able to give about $1,500 to the gang out in that part of the world. And you don't know what a thrill it was to just slip $100 in the hands of a dear Korean brother and $50 in the hands of a Japanese brother and $100 in the hands of another brother and say, this is from the gang down in the south. And we want you to know that we're with you. And I just, time and time again, my old heart was just thrilled. And I feel like I was experiencing what I want you to experience. And God answered our prayer for $2,000 and sent in more than that and allowed us to give to the gang out there. And they greatly appreciate you folks and what you've done in the ministry there in giving. We had a baby on the 5th of February, Joyce, myself, and the Lord allowed me to stay here until the little guy arrived. And he arrived about 10 in the morning on the 5th, Nathaniel. And a little later that afternoon, or I should say it was about noon, the doctor called me on the phone. He said, "I've been looking for you. Couldn't find you." And I was right there. I don't know where he was looking. But he said, "Your son is having some difficulty. His lungs are only partway inflated." I said, "Oh?" And he said, "Yeah." He said, "We've got him in what we call an isolette. And we won't know for 24 to 72 hours whether he'll live or die." And I said, "Well, man, I'm supposed to leave tomorrow morning for the Orient." He said, "Well, I wouldn't go if it was me." So I thanked him and I said, "Well, what do we do?" He said, "Well, there's nothing we can do. We'll just have to watch it. We're doing everything we can." So they have what they call a Hyaline membrane. Some of you are familiar with this. And Joyce and I had claimed a verse of Scripture the night before, on the 4th. And it says, Isaiah 57:19, it says, "I create the fruit of the lips, peace, peace to him that is far off and to him that is near, saith the Lord." And we thought that that would be a good verse of Scripture. Some of you are new, and I don't know if you're in the habit of taking God's Word and claiming it. If you're not, and you're just beginning to experience the joy of living for Jesus Christ, you're going to find that every word of God is pure, and that this Word is alive and powerful and life-changing. And that it's real for us to claim today, not just for salvation, but for every need of our lives, God has a word. And I needed peace, and Joyce needed peace, as we were parting from each other for 2 months. And so we took that, and felt that God wanted to fill our hearts with peace. The next day, as I was looking at this verse, and this was before she had even come out of the anesthetic, or whatever it is, I saw that the last few words of the verse say, "And I will heal him." And I read that again. I'd never seen that before. We'd claim peace for me and peace for her, and yet the last part of the verse says, "I will heal him." So when she woke up, we read that verse together and prayed, and I said, "Well, what do you think, honey?" She said, "Well, I have peace about your going. And I believe God will heal him." And I said, "Well, boy, I do too." So the next morning at 6 a.m., I came in and he was still struggling for every breath. And I got to see him through the little, behind the glass window, off in that little isolette. And it was sort of pitiful, and I went away from there with a great big fist in my stomach as I got on that plane. But a verse of Scripture: peace to him that is far off, peace to him that is near, and I will heal him. So out in Japan, I called back home and I said, "How's Nate?" "Well, he's doing better." And I talked to the doctor. But he's still not out of difficulty. We won't know yet for a little while. But 3 days later, he was okay. And today he's about 10 pounds and looking like a real guard. So that was the start of the trip. And I felt that it was going to be a good trip, filled with peace, and the Lord just tested us at the first. Probably the greatest personal blessing was Vietnam. Being with our troops out there in that country and ministering with men and to men at Cameron Bay and Tansanut and Long Ben, and seeing these dear fellows that are living for Jesus Christ, that was a great blessing. Over 30 men on these different bases in 3 days. We just spent hours and hours and hours together. I have a number of observations that I made, and I'd like to share them with you. But before I do, I'd like to put a title on this little thing that we're talking about. And I guess if we could title it, rather than saying how to get the most out of a conference as the first message, I would just title it on being observant. You know, the last few days, all of us have made one observation. We've all been geared into how those astronauts were doing. Boy, I have. And I'm sure that you have. And I'm sure that probably most of us here have prayed. And today, as I was driving over and listening to the radio, and when that command module came through the atmosphere, and they announced it, and they made radio contact, boy, I was filled with emotion, and tears came to my eyes as I was driving along in the car. It was an emotional thing. And as that old command module touched down in the Pacific, and they announced that, tears came to my eyes again. And it was emotional. Ah, boy, I really geared in on that thing. We make observations about different areas of life. You're driving down the road and you've got a problem of plumbing in your house, a leaky faucet. And you've never observed where the plumbing shop is. But as you're driving down the road, you know, good night, there's a plumber. I didn't notice that before. And whenever you have a need, your sewing machine goes on the blink. And you're looking around in the yellow pages and you're finding where the sewing machine shop is. And it's right down the street there and you never noticed it before. But we make observations along the lines of needs. Many times we make observations along the lines of just things that kind of are important to us. You go into old so-and-so's house and the children are there and they're crying and they're disobedient, and you think, ooh, what a bunch of ugly kids. And you come to this conference, and you're going to make some observations. Some good, and perhaps some bad. And most of you have never been to a Navigator conference before. And you'll think, boy, what a bunch of singers those people are. That's right, and that's a good observation. I get just thrilled as I sit back there and join in with Bob and the gang and singing. Wonderful. You'll see some other things. When I went out to the Orient and then on down into Southeast Asia, I had some things I wanted to see. When you're looking for things, you see things. I wanted to look for some certain things. And I'd like you to turn with me in your Bible to Proverbs 30, because this was a help to me in making observations. We won't read the whole proverb, but we'll read a number of verses. This is not one of Solomon's proverbs. It's a proverb of Agur, the words of Agur, verse 1. And he begins by cutting himself down, verse 2 and 3. Surely I am more brutish than any man, and have not the understanding of a man. I neither learned wisdom nor have the knowledge of the holy. And yet from there he goes ahead and gives us one of the wisest of all the proverbs. And of course we know that he was inspired by the Lord. But what a proverb this is. And you can read the whole thing later on, but it's just filled with words of wisdom, as they all are. I would title this the Observations of Agur. And he had the ability to learn from life, to learn from the animals, to learn from people, to observe situations and pick up things for his life. Let's see. Verse 7. You can use this as, there are six observations. This is the first one. Two things have I required of thee, deny me them not before I die. And he gives the two things. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. The first observation was along the line of something that he required. The next observation is in verse 15, right in the middle of the verse. There are three things that are never satisfied, yea, four things. Say not, it is enough. The grave and the barren womb, the earth that is not filled with water, and the fire that saith not, it is enough. And he observed that these things were never satisfied. Verse 18 gives us another observation. There be three things which are too wonderful for me, yea, four things which I know not. The way of an eagle in the air, the way of a serpent upon a rock, the way of a ship in the midst of the sea, and the way of a man with a maid. Too wonderful for him to comprehend. Verse 21. For three things the earth is disquieted, four things which it cannot bear, things that cause the earth to tremble, that are upsetting. A servant when he reigneth, and a fool when he is filled with meat, for an odious woman when she is married, and a handmaid that is heir to her mistress. The next observation is in verse 24. There be four things which are little upon the earth, but they are exceeding wise. He noticed a thing that was exceeding wise. The ants are a people, not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. The conies are but a feeble folk, yet make they their houses in the rocks. The locusts have no king, yet go they forth, all of them, by bands. The spider taketh hold with her hands and is in kings' palaces. Verse 29 gives the sixth observation. There be three things which go well. Yea, four are comely and going, smooth as glass. A lion which is strongest among beasts, and turneth not away for any. A greyhound, and a he-goat also, and a king against whom there is no rising up. Now, if we could put a title on these six little observations, the first one would be an area, of requirement, something that I required. The second one would be an area that I noticed that was never satisfied and never will be satisfied. The third was observing something that was wonderful. The fourth, verse 21, looking for something that was upsetting and disquieting. The fifth, for something that was exceeding wise. And the sixth, something that went very well. Now I ask the Lord to give me some observations along these lines. I had a number of other things, but this helped my thinking so that it isn't all in one area. Because we could so easily just think in terms of negatives. I wanted to see some wonderful things. I wanted to see some things that were wise. I wanted to see some things that were going well. But I also wanted to see some earth-shaking, disquieting things. I wanted to know what I required under extreme pressure. Verse 7. The thing that I required in my little two-month trip and for the rest of my life was not the same food every day, the good old hamburgers and the American food that we have and take for granted and love so much. But I found that I could enjoy kimchi in Korea and raw fish in Japan and some of the Filipino dishes and some of the fried foods we had down in Malaysia. I found that it was an attitude. About 95% of it was just an attitude. And when I said, God, I'll eat anything you put before me and give thanks and like it, I just want to be like the people, then that was the biggest thing. Some of it upset me for a couple of days. It wasn't food. It wasn't necessarily rest, because there were some long days and there were some long nights. And there were some nights when one night I had a hotel room and I sat up all night talking to this fellow. And didn't even use the bed and shoved off the next day. But it wasn't rest. God seemed to kind of work that in. It wasn't my family, although I missed my dear wife and kiddos. Boy, I looked for those letters every stop. But that wasn't what I required. Wasn't clean clothes. Living out of a suitcase for 2 months can be different. But there was a thing that I saw that I required. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. Some of you have memorized these verses. It says in the last part of verse 7, exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things. Godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. We often think of godliness in heaven. This says having the promise of not only that, but life now. Living now means being godly. And Jesus said, I am come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. And it's connected with being godly. And if you want to have an abundant life now, gang, it'll be by godliness. Well, you say, well, how do you get to be godly? It's not by going off to Bible school, as good as Bible school is. That isn't what makes a man godly. It's not by going to church 7 days a week, as good as church is. It's by daily time in this book, the Bible, listening to God speak to our hearts and talking to Him in prayer. It isn't even how much time you spend. And there were some days that it was pretty thin out there in the amount of time. But godliness is not measured by the amounts of time. It's measured by the attitude of heart towards this book and talking to the Lord in prayer. And we're going to learn a lot more about that in the next couple of days as our brother comes and expounds what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Means to be godly. What a great promise that is. And I found that above everything else, and I sinned on the trip, boy. You bet I did. Yes, sir, I confess sin along the line. But that didn't even get me down. But if I had gone days without godliness and without Jesus Christ and this book, I'd been in real trouble. And I'll be in real trouble. And so will you. I require godliness. The next thing was an area that will never be satisfied. Down in verse 15, there are three things that are never satisfied. And as I thought about this, there are several things, but the thing that stands out I'll wait a second or two before I tell you. But I saw some problems among missionaries and nationals. I saw some people exposed to situations that are difficult, trying to learn a foreign language. I saw some husbands and wives that were having difficulty in their relationship. I observed a young national that was giving problems to other girls. I observed a missionary that no longer wore his helmet when he drove down the streets on his motorcycle, hoping that he would have an accident and end it all. Saw some other things. And they're in difficult situations, just as some of us are. Half the world's population is out there. Men and women that don't love Jesus Christ abound. Missionaries slugging it out day after day have just the same kind of problems that you and I have. Doesn't mean they're more spiritual. It means that they were obedient to God and went out to the other side of the world. But I saw something that will never be satisfied, and that's prayer for our brethren across the seas. And I want to ask you how the time of prayer has been going for those people out there giving their lives. Hot, hot, hot climates. And as I looked at the nationals there, our gang in Malaysia, little fellas, 90 pounds with 24-inch waists. Real gunners, but little guys in the heat and the difficulties. And to put our fellows and gals into those kind of situations and the cultural adjustments and all the rest. You'll never be satisfied. And I just I'd like to lay the burden of prayer on us, gang, to pray for men and women across the seas. And you say, well, who are they and how do I pray? You can find out the names of lots of men and women to pray for by just asking any one of us, and we'll give you a list of folks if you're not praying regularly. How do you pray? Just pray the same way that you pray for yourself. Pray that God will give Nagai-san a good quiet time. Pray that God will help Mr. Che in Korea and his dear wife as they live in that one-room apartment with his mother. Just pray that God will help them in their husband and wife relationship. Pray that He'll help them in the areas that you have need in. Just look in here, and that's what we need. We have all that we need to know about praying for one another. Just look right in there. There hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. And the struggles that you're having, they're having. If you're having a problem with lust, missionaries are having a problem with lust. You say, can that be? That's right. As long as we're in this flesh, we're going to have difficulties. Don't put us up on a pedestal somewhere and say that, oh, those giants, those spiritual giants, it's not true. We're all in this together, and we need each other's prayers. Verse 18 talks about an observation of something that was wonderful. Let me tell you about a wonderful thing I saw. In 1965, when I left Korea, we had no national work in Korea. We had no national work in Japan. We had two young men coming up. We had no significant national work in the Philippines. The two out of the three fellows that we did have are now with the Lord. They were killed. They died. We had no significant work in Singapore or Malaysia, although we had a young couple coming up. But today we have young nationals that are standing tall for Jesus Christ. Fellows and gals that are just as enthusiastic as each of you here. Fellows and gals that know this book. Alert, intelligent, young men and women with a heart for Jesus Christ. Educated young fellows. Out there in that part of the world, most of them know two languages. Many of them know three and four languages. When we were in Port Dickson, Malaysia, I witnessed to three young Chinese men that were servants there. I spoke in English and could speak in English anywhere out in that part of the world because everyone wants to know English. These fellows spoke dialects from their own native country in China. They spoke Mandarin, they spoke Malaysian, and they spoke English. Boy, I kind of felt like a clod. Intelligent, alert, young men and women coming up for the Lord Jesus. And as I sat in a conference in the Philippines and looked out on 75 bright young fellows and gals, and I looked at the theme of the conference written above the podium, world-conquering disciples. Boy, that did something down in my soul. As I looked at the theme of the conference there in Seoul, Korea, a little one shall become a thousand. Wonderful. The verse of Scripture that came to mind, Psalm 139, verses 6 through 9. Actually, verse 5 says, Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, Surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. And I saw the Spirit of God moving out there in that part of the world, and it was indeed wonderful and is wonderful. God is at work. And there are some tremendous things happening in those difficult areas. And I had heard about Japan, where 1/4 of 1% are professing Christians in a nation of 100 million people. And yet I went out on the campus with Nagai-san and Hosei University and witnessed. And men and women are coming to Christ. I went down into the snack bars, or they call it the coffee shop or tea house in Korea, with Mr. Che and Mr. Ha, and we grabbed a couple of young college fellows and witnessed to them. And I'd kind of, speak in English, and they'd interpret so it could get clearer. And then I just sort of stepped back, and these two guys, boy, they flashed their Bibles out and went for 15 minutes. And one of those fellows accepted Christ. And then a few minutes later, we went over and got a couple more guys. And I gave my little spiel in English, and they interpreted, and I stepped back, and zap, and they went. Both of those fellows accepted Christ. While they were talking, another guy came and looked on. And he accepted Christ. God's Spirit is moving. And don't you ever think that it's tough or tight or impossible? We were down in Malaysia in Roy Robertson's home. And there were four Muslim young men there. And I'd always heard about it's impossible to get to Muslims. They're the hardest ones in the world. And so I'm sitting there listening to them in Malaysian and kind of praying and thinking and drifting around here and there. And these guys were all talking. And this young Muslim fellow, good-looking young man, was sitting next to me, and he said, What do you think about all this? Good English. And he just kind of whispered it because they were rattling on in Malaysian there. I said, Well, what? So I started talking to him, and we went for 45 minutes in a little private conversation. And he said, my parents were Muslims. He said, I'm a free thinker. A free thinker, huh? Yeah, he says, I don't know what I believe. Huh, how about that guy over there who's arguing for the Muslim faith? There's one God. You say there's three gods. No, we say there are three gods in one. But there's only one God. You can't get it through their thinking. He says, Oh, he's just arguing for it. He's a free thinker, too. And I saw that there's a crack. And there are cracks. And I've got a buddy out in Samoa who's led 16 Muslims to Christ in 3 months. Don't you believe that it's too tough? Let's pray and let's go and let's get the gospel out. It's the power of God unto salvation. Exciting days. Wonderful days. What a privilege to be on His team. Verse 21 tells about something that is disquieting. There are three things. For three things the earth is disquieted. Four things which it cannot bear, and I saw something that was troubling, disquieting, upsetting. In each country that I went into, I wished that my wife was with me, and I would be kind of going through Hong Kong and on into Malaysia, and boy, oh, I wish that Joyce was here and could see this. But when I got into Saigon, I didn't wish that my wife was with me. And I wanted to leave Saigon. And I don't know if I have it scoped out right or not. I've seen a number of young men with broken spirits. Proverbs tells us that the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity. Proverbs 18:14, but a wounded spirit, who can bear? I've seen individuals like that, but I've never seen a nation like that. And as I witnessed to a young Vietnamese soldier on a C-130 in English, broken spirit. And as I looked at that city with the dirt and the filth, people that have been persecuted by the French, by the Viet Cong, by the Americans, by the North Vietnamese, by the South Vietnamese government, on every hand, I saw some things that were disquieting. And gang, I'll tell you, it's upsetting to see a nation like this. But it just did something down within me, because I know that it's the Spirit of Jesus Christ in a man that will sustain his infirmity, or will sustain the infirmity of a nation. And I just realized all the more that we're on target. This will see us through thick or thin. And some of us have been through some thick ones. But the Spirit of Jesus Christ will help us sustain it. And that was upsetting. And I saw people that know not the Savior in dire straits. Oh, I would to God that I could do something about it. Pray. Verse 24 says that there are four things which are little upon the earth, but they are exceeding wise. And I saw something that I believe is exceeding wise. We have three stages in our ministry overseas. Stage one is when we send our men and couples to a country to begin a ministry in that country. Stage two is when we send people from the country to other nations. God working through us, sending out nationals. Stage three is a work in depth in that country. The point of wisdom that I want to just mention for a minute is this thing of sending nationals to other countries in obedience to Mark 16:15. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And that includes every one of God's people in every nation of the world. Not just Americans going out, or not just English going out, but every one of God's people going out. Those Koreans are so excited about getting the gospel out into Southeast Asia that you get in a gang of Koreans and you just feel something vibrating in them. It's not hard for them to learn the Japanese language. They think the same way. They think backwards. We think forwards. But it's easy for them to learn the language. All they have to do is learn the word. But our gang of folks have to begin to learn how to think differently besides learning words. It's not difficult for the Filipinos to go down to Indonesia, because the Indonesian language and the Malaysian language and the Filipino language are all the same group. And Philip Flores, who is from the Philippines down in Indonesia, is picking it up rapidly. And it's tough for some of our folks. They look alike. The color of their hair, the color of their skin. They've gone through things that they don't have the adjustments. I believe the Koreans can go live in any country of the world. They're rugged. They've gone without. And they're terrific missionaries. We're planning on sending our first navigator missionaries from Korea in 1973. We're planning on sending our first navigator missionaries from Japan in 75. The first navigators from the Philippines in 75. The first navigators from Singapore, Malaysia in 72. And from Australia and New Zealand by 72. We hope to have some people coming up and out. And there'll be a day when some of us will not be so necessary. A soon day out there. And that was exciting. It takes $50,000 to transport my family over to the Orient and be there for 4 years and all the money that's involved. It takes very little to put an Oriental out in another country. Exceeding wise and exceedingly exciting. Verse 29 says, there are three things which go well, yea, four are comely in going. And I would like to mention an area that I feel it goes well. 1 Corinthians 9:22. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. The word is identification. Goes exceedingly well. And I believe that for us here or wherever we are, if we can learn to identify with people in their need, that things will go exceedingly well. We don't expect people to come over on our side and live like we are. You go and live like they are. Get into their hearts. And get into their thinking. Get on their level, on their frequency. And thank God that I picked this up early and the Lord gave me some headway with fellows quickly. And as I lived in Nagai-san's home for 2 days in Tokyo, and slept on the tatami with him, and went to the Japanese ofuro, their bathhouse, the public bath, and I noticed that Nagai is strong. He's a leader. He's one of these men who if you can imagine a fellow out in the jungle, a Japanese on Guadalcanal with a samurai sword leading 2,000 Japanese screaming, Banzai! That'd be Nagai. He's a wild man, but a heart for Jesus. So one of the first things I said, I see you've got some weightlifting gear. Let's lift some weights. Boy, he liked that. I said, I'll Indian wrestle you. So we Indian wrestled. A beating, too. And then we ran together around those streets, dodging taxis and this and that. And he beat me. But identification means a lot. We had quiet times together, and we had times in prayer. We went out to eat, and God gave me the heart of that fellow. Eating with the people. But there's a tremendous lesson, isn't there, for us to identify with people. Forget that you don't do it that way and do it that way. It was as smooth as glass. And though we know not the language, and though we have different colored hair, And though we wear our clothes differently, and though we have a lot of things different, if we'll identify, they'll overlook those things. And their hearts open up. Beautiful. I'd like you to just kind of take as a challenge for the next 2 or 3 days these 6 observations. Just write down, Lord, help me to observe something in the next day or two that I see I require. Help me to see, Lord, something that will never be satisfied, that I'm going to need to do from now on out. Something that is wonderful. Something that's upsetting. Something exceeding wise. And something that'll go well. And I believe that if you'll do this, and if you'll gear your thinking in to definite observations, and you may have 3 or 4 others that you want to list, but if you'll gear into a few things, that God will do some things just like He did in my heart out on that trip, that will not be just from a conference, but they'll stick with you. You'll forget the words that Gene will say. You'll forget a lot of things. You'll take some notes, and that's a good idea. You'll have some good conversations with others, and we hope you do that. There are a lot of things that you'll do, and that'll be done the next few days that you'll forget. But if you've got a few observations, you'll never forget about the astronauts that were in trouble and floated down and made it. You'll never forget some of the things that have happened that you've observed that stand out. Well, let's have a few pegs like that. And let's let the Spirit of God make that peg, that thought, and drive it in home so that we can leave here with some thoughts deeply embedded in our minds and hearts. And I believe that if we'll do this, that'll be tremendously helpful in getting the most out of this conference. Shall we pray? Now, our Father, in Jesus' name, we pray that You will help us to observe. Help us to be of the spirit of Agur. Lord, for Jesus' sake, build some deep things in our hearts these next couple of days. Do a lasting work, an eternal work, for the glory of Christ in every fellow's heart and every girl's heart here. Lord, that when we leave, we'll be able to take with us some lasting observations that You can work on and help us with until Jesus comes. Now, Father, give us a good time of fellowship around the refreshments, we pray. Give us a good rest tonight. And, oh, boy, we're really excited, Lord, about just being here with You and with one another. And we really appreciate that You've made it possible for us to get away and show us how to redeem these precious moments. And thanks again so much for all that You've done and are doing for each one of us here. And thanks, Lord, for what You're doing out there on the other side of the world, in Southeast Asia and in the Orient. Thank You, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.